Blog Talk Radio.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama. Together you got smooth. Drama.
All right, welcome to Smooth Drama with your host Dick Hugger, aka F the N word, along with my illustrious co-host, the ever present, the magnificent, the supreme deity, Miss 100%, representing the great state of Ohio. Say hi.
What's up? Well, this is Miss 100% keeping it real all the time. If you don't want to know, don't ask me.
Yeah, because she's going to tell you anyway. And if you want to holler at us, 646-929-2037 is the number. Once again, 646-929-2037. And, as always, if you're too shy to call, feel free to email me, dick@smoothdrama.com. Once again, dick@smoothdrama.com for those who are too shy to call. I will read your questions, comments, concerns. It's all good. I got you. Also, we are very sociable people. Facebook, Twitter, tag, MySpace, my yearbook. Follow me, hit me up. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Smooth Drama. If you want to add me on Facebook, tag MySpace, my yearbook, High Five, LinkedIn, I'm Dick Hugger. Real simple. Add me, I'll add you back. And if you want to holler at Miss 100%, feel free to go to the Smooth Drama site, go to our About Us page, and you can jump on and you can add Miss 100% and just make her life grand, because she, of course, wants to add a whole bunch of strangers and talk to y'all all times of the day and all times of the night.
I certainly do.
See? I said it, but she just confirmed it. So we're all set now. And on that note about being set and stating the obvious, because that's what we do here. Finally, the Barry Bonds trial, which cost reportedly over $50 million, and let me make sure I say that correctly, over $50 million, ends up, he was convicted of one charge of obstruction of justice for telling the grand jury he did not knowingly use performance-enhancing drugs. They spent $50 million to tell us what everybody and their mama knew 10 years ago.
And why is it even relevant right now?
$50 million to take Barry Bonds, and he's not going to do no jail time. He's going to get community service, probation, whatever you want to call it, and his head's still going to be big. I don't understand what's going to change here. It's just funny. And, of course, they're going to go after Roger Clemens next, spend another $40, $50 million to say that, yeah, he took steroids, like everybody and their mama don't know that. And just in case you don't know, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, and about 200-300 other Major League Baseball players, they took steroids, just in case you didn't know. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Dick, I have a question.
Ask me a question.
A while back, the there was a another indictment for the track star. Her first her first name is Marion.
Marion Jones.
Marion Jones, and she did the same exact thing. She lied about it, but they sent her to prison. So what's the difference between Barry Bonds' line and Marion Jones' line? They both lied about it. And
Marion Jones didn't have as good a homie as Barry Bonds did, because Barry Bonds' homie went to jail because he was here to testify. Marion Jones, sort of like Michael Vick, didn't have good homies.
Okay.
Marion Jones didn't have good homies.
Poor Marion.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what the difference is. And her representation obviously was not quite as good, because obviously Barry Bonds, his representation, made sure that the number one witness against me just was not going to testify. Dude, I mean, you can't say no more road dog than that. I mean, he went to jail twice.
Twice?
Twice.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that's like Al Cowling. That's approaching Al Cowling's road dog. Now, remember Al Cowling riding with OJ?
Mm-hmm.
With the 800 police behind him. Going 10 miles an hour on the freeway. I mean, you know, you gotta be the road dog to I mean, because when you think about it, like, hey, dog, this is it. I'm just, you know, I'm just gonna ride down the freeway they trying to get me. And he's like, I'm gonna take that ride with you, dog. That's your dog right there.
Okay.
Yeah. But I digress. Don't talk about some real sad stuff. All my children and one life to live have been canceled.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, what am I going to do with my, no more one more life to live? Or is it one life to live? Tell you how much I watch it. And all my children. These shows have been around forever. Yeah, and they said that they're going off the air in September, and All My Children is going to be replaced by The Chew, which is a live one-hour show about food and nutrition. So they're going to have cast members from Iron Chef America and nutrition expert Daphne Oz. Because, of course, we need more food shows on TV, because we don't have enough. I mean, Food Network's not enough. ABC want to jump in on that. And One Life to Live will last until January, and its replacement will be The Revolution. And it's going to be about health and lifestyle. Yeah.
All righty.
Yeah, because we need more health and lifestyle shows also. Don't have enough.
Yep. Well, I guess that's a trend, because I guess you already know that, CBS, or CBS, last September, Guiding Light went off the air, and before that, As the World Turns went off the air. So.
What? Hold on. Guiding Light and As the World Turns is not on TV any longer?
No, it's been almost a year.
Oh.
So I'm kind of late.
All right.
And then replaced with The Talk, as if we don't have enough catty women talking about their kids and husbands and blah, 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 blah. And also replaced with Let's Make a Deal. So.
Let's Make a Deal? Isn't that an old
yeah,
show?
The new host is Wayne Brady.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. Yeah, he had some tight gear on. He kind of reminded me of the days when Montel Williams had that tight gear on. You know, it's nothing against it. I mean, I've got a son who wears skinny jeans. It's just, you know, when I see people with jeans on, the tight gear on, I always think that if they sneeze, will they bust a button or constrict themselves and die asphyxiation, or I don't know.
Oh, wow. I can't believe I got myself into this.
I'm just saying, you know, I mean, that's what I thought. I mean, Wayne Brady is incredibly talented, though. I mean, I used to like the show that he was on, Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Because, yes.
You know, they would just ad-lib. And I don't think people appreciated how hard that was to just the crowd, the audience would come up with some stuff, and then you just have to ad-lib for the rest of the time.
And for it to be absolutely hilarious at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really hard to do. Yeah, so I give him props, and I guess I hope that Let's Make a Deal works, I guess. But we'll have a semi moment of silence, psych, for the soap opera going away. I mean, you figure what the hell are them, those actors and actresses going to do? I mean, because, you know, a lot of them have been on them shows forever.
All their lives.
Yeah. I mean, when you...
Well, all my life, at least.
Yeah. I mean,
Some of them are on other soap operas. I noticed that some of the people that were on... Young and the Restless. I mean, As the World Turns are now on Young and the Restless.
They're not quite that young on that show.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody, I used to watch it with my grandmother, and some of those people, those same people, like the Victor Newman and
Dr. Chancellor,
yeah, the woman who had the facelift live on the show.
Yeah, I mean, she's still there, and she's still getting faceless.
Yeah, I mean, she was old when I was in junior high on the show. So,
uh-huh.
It's got to be at least 98, 102.
And now she's quite old.
Yeah, quite. And speaking of quite old, just segueing into the NCAA. You know, I hate the NCAA.
Mm-hmm.
They're such hypocrites. They issue a warning to the undergrads on attending NFL draft parties. So they sent them a letter, and they're saying that players that aren't eligible for this year's draft, they can't receive benefits or services such as travel, lodging, meals, or entertainment if they attend the draft parties. And they're saying that each college athlete must pay for all of those things, or he could violate NCAA rules and give up his eligibility. Now, what strikes me on this and just pisses me off to no end. So you're telling a college student that, I mean, you have a teammate who gets drafted. I can't go to the draft party because I'll be ineligible if I drink a beer at said draft party, or I eat a piece of pizza or meatball or whatever the hell they're gonna have at the party. I find that quite ridiculous. You know, you're saying that a college student can't go to a party, a professional party, and have a good time, and then, you know, just go back to be a college student. Whereas I was in college, if we got invited to a party like that, we're professionals, professional bankers, investment portfolio people, whatever the hell their profession was. We can eat whatever we want, and it was no problem. I mean, it's a party. Now, of course, they're saying that they can be enticed by agents or whatnot, but once again, these guys, they make billions of dollars off these athletes while they're in school, and even when they're out of school and not even attending university, the athletes can't make money. And so you're telling me I can't have a piece of pizza?
You can make $1 million off of me,
right.
But I'm not even allowed to have a free piece of pizza.
Right. That's a violation.
That's asinine.
Right. You have to pay to go to the party you was invited to. So you have to pay for everything. I mean, how are they going to charge him? You going to tell me you're going to charge like $1 a slice for every piece of pizza I eat at the party?
That's making like kind of like a four-corner sip. Buy a ticket, and every time you get a drink or you get a tempo, you tear off one of the corners, and when your ticket is gone, that's it. You leave. You mingle, and you get up out of there.
Yeah.
That's just an idea. Come on.
I'm sorry. It's another reason why I hate the NCAA and the hypocrites at the NCAA who are making all this money, and a college kid can't benefit off of the blood, sweat, and tears that he puts out.
Right, right.
On that note, we're going to take our first commercial break. This is A Prime, the Ballad of the Prime.
Yo, this is the ballad of the prime. It's to understand the man, you got to travel through his mind. Travel through his life and time before we started fighting crime. Committed by the henchmen to whack the guy, writing rhymes. This story starts in 1994, January 22nd, he was 12 years old. The middle of the winter, blistering cold. His mama copped the mittens and the piston started cold. And gave him $20, no it wasn't real. But he trotted off the school clad in the Grand Hill Zoo. Girls at school didn't think he was too cute. He missed the personality, so he still could shoot a few. I'm off topic, back to the trotting. Walking through the alleyway, some brothers out plotting. Waistline rocket, pulled out and cocked him. And said, break yourself, fool, before we start popping. This is the ballad of the prime. Damn, he's in a tight situation, but the perfect platform to use his imagination. See, most don't know how clever the prime is. Was looking for the force within to use his Jedi mind trick. It wasn't with him, everybody laughed. In the midst of the giggling, he turned around and ran. Heard the gun blast, teleported in the flash. Wound up on top of a desk in Miss Ruiz's Spanish class. His peers gasped, he got down and dashed to his grandparents' house to have a chat with his grams. He said you have a gene passed through your criminal biological father who can make himself invisible. He robbed banks from New Hampshire to Houston. Now you know the deal, you're half human, half mutant. Just remember you have great abilities. Now master your craft so you're ready for your enemies. This is the ballad of the prime. Days on out, nights on end, he trained, learning to control this remarkable gift he gained. More than just bending the time-space continuum, he gained the power of the pencil he can transcend. And met this guy, Trailmatic, who's the master of invention. He took a liking to prime, schooled him on a mission. About Dr. Whack the Gun and all of his henchmen. And gave him gadgets and gidgets to give him great assistance. One was a talking backpack to serve as a sidekick. Remember Knight Rider? Well, yeah, he sort of like Kit together. Trailing prime formed automatic, and the mission is to recreate the golden era magic. To resurrect the villain, today's hip hop is missing. And catch Dr. Whack the Gun and knock him out position. So next time you grab the mic to spit a rhyme, if it's whack, you gon' have to face the wrath of the prime. This is the ballad of the prime.
A prime, the amazing backpack crusader of hip hop is doomed to die. Along with his sidekick, inventor Trailmatic, whose gadgets keep him alive and enable him to be Alex Pembroke. famous author of children's books and head of Imagination Media, and a superhero, A. Prop.
All right, welcome back to Smooth Drama with your host, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, along with my illustrious, glamorous, spontaneous.
Keep going.
All right. Combustible, super Cali fragilistic, expialidocious, docious. Anyway, Miss 100%. That was A Prime, Ballad of the Prime. Anyway. Now, as you know, we like to talk about issues of what is your opinion, and just trying to throw our humble opinions out there on certain situations. First situation is a man who disciplined a child and was taken to jail because he whooped his child with a belt, something that I'm oddly familiar with from my youth. And also, he was said to have put hot sauce in her mouth, according to him. He said that she was cussing, and so he put the hot sauce in her mouth. Now, a lot of people from my generation, not to date myself, a child being whooped, whatnot, is not necessarily something uncommon. A child being whooped with a belt kind of happened all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I remember even passing down that passing down those special memories to my son and my nieces and nephews, who would probably tell a tale or two.
Mm-hmm.
But I, CPS comes in and takes them, and they're talking about severe bruising on the girl. I myself, I'm like, okay, what did she do? Maybe it's a cultural thing. We come from a culture where, you know, you do something wrong, you get disciplined. And a lot of times, disciplined kids turn out to be well-behaved kids.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, I don't know about anybody else. Pose the question to you. Do you feel like a man who whoops his child, man or woman who whoops their child, should, you know, be arrested for it? No? Yeah, no, maybe so. I'm curious as to your thoughts about it. Yeah. Now,
and you know, Dick, I remember a time where, one time, I got caught cursing. It wasn't just me; it was my brother and my sister too. We had a bad habit. We knew that we weren't supposed to be cussing, but we would cuss when we thought that they weren't around, as did all kids probably. But
I've done
that.
Huh? I've done that.
Yeah, so we got caught cussing, and we were made to bite soap. And we still got a whooping, but it's the whole wash your mouth out with soap thing. And if you do that now, like you said, you're looking at jail time, not just for whooping your kids or disciplining them, but the whole soap thing, they probably feel like they felt with the hot sauce thing was a little bit overboard, you know. But to make a parent go to jail, to put them in jail for disciplining their child, I just say it like this. If we don't discipline our kids at home, there's a whole police force out there waiting to discipline them for.
Yeah, it's probably going to hurt a little bit more.
We got built, they got their clubs. What can I do with that?
And guns. But that's a whole other story. It's actually a funny segue into the next subject, where, yes, LAPD, you know how it was always rumored that the police have a ticket quota. And you hear, nah, there's no ticket quota. And then you hear, yeah, there is a ticket quota.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, come to find out, LAPD took the state of California, city of Los Angeles, to court and won $2 million because they supposedly were instructed to write at least 18 tickets per shift, even offenses like blown intersections and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess jurors sided with the officers in their case and awarded them $2 million to get this, compensate for their damaged reputation and other work reprimands. I got mixed feelings on this. Because first and foremost, why in the hell would the cops get the $2 million? They didn't pay no tickets. They ain't paying nary a fine. I mean, they're essentially, they got the bonuses or whatever they got for writing the tickets. And then on top of it,
they got a little bonus, an extra bonus.
I mean, so we going to pay them again because basically, you know, we pay for the police, our tax dollars. So, in essence, we paid them to write the tickets. Then we paid them to sue. And now we're going to pay so that they can get the judgment on the tickets that they wrote on us. There's something wrong with that picture there.
Yes.
I'm missing it. But there's definitely something wrong with that. I mean, am I tripping? Or they get the money? Why the hell they get the money? They wrote the tickets.
You know what, I tell you what, desperate times call for desperate measures. And we are in desperate times, so to speak. And I have to really give them props for being so creative on how to dupe the citizens out of more money, because where's the money coming from? It's coming from us, period. So, we're paying their salary, then we're paying them for the tickets that they wrote on us, and then we're going to pay them again so that they can get, so that they can go ahead and be able to file the tickets and all the charges and convictions and all of that. So, and we're paying for it.
Right. That's where I'm kind of stuck.
And you know, that kind of sounds like double dipping to me.
Yeah, that's, That's definitely double dipping. That's triple, double, triple, quadruple.
Quadruple?
Because we paying all the way around because we paid the ticket. Anyway, that makes no sense. But I guess it makes sense if you're one of the policemen who got the money.
And I always try to justify it, so yeah, it would make sense.
Yeah, I guess. I got a touchy subject for you here. There was a registered sex offender who enrolled at a high school up in Yucca Valley, California. I mean, one, if you living in a place called Yucca Valley, shit, you already in hell. No offense to people who live in a place called Yucca Valley.
Yucca Valley?
Yeah, your place starts with the word yuck. Anyway, Yucca Valley High School, there was a kid. He's Stephen Holt. He's 18 years old, was convicted as a juvenile for sexually assaulting girls 6 to 15 years old, including one disabled girl. Now, he was on campus for a few days, but he hasn't attended classes lately. And he's also a special needs student. And the district is trying to make a decision about his future. And so they're saying maybe because of the outrage, he'll have to take classes somewhere else. My question is, as a parent, would you feel comfortable with a registered sex offender at the same school as your daughters?
As a parent, either way on either side, I would be concerned either way. If it was my son that did that, I wouldn't even try to mix him in a crowd, you know, like that. I would more than likely research and find maybe a special tutor. If he's a child with special needs, he needs a special teacher. He needs specialized education. So, but then as a parent, you know, of a child that goes to this school or in this school district, I wouldn't want my kid going for the simple fact that if his ailment or his condition is, you know, he likes to rape little kids, you know, and it's something that can't be controlled, I would be very fearful, you know,
to
even a lot. So he needs specialized attention. This is a very, very touchy subject, but the bottom line is what's important for him. He was born this way. It's not something that, you know, he's just doing it and, you know, he has control over it. You know, he's just a sex offender and that's what he likes. He has a mental defect and that causes him to behave this way. So he needs some special attention. He needs specialized education, but not only that, he needs specialized therapy. And I don't know if there are any programs that are already, you know, in place that can actually help him.
No, as we stand, you know, as far as programs like that, all that's been cut or in the process of being cut. So
right.
Anything that to help specialized students, that probably, if it did exist, it's gone now. So
that's true.
You have what you call a conundrum because then you say, okay, are we throwing this child away? Is he beyond hope? I mean, did he do it because he has the mental defect? Or did he do it because he's just an evil kid. You know, that's the easy route. You know how people are always, oh, it's real easy. Oh, yeah, he's a deviant.
I think that this is a mental defect. But I think I've heard of other cases where there are other children like this, you know, and they're just born that way. And like you said, there are probably no programs, and if there were, they've been cut. When you go into the school systems now, every child that has special needs, and I know this from experience because I work with autistic children, every child that is labeled special needs, they are lumped in one classroom and called autistic. Well, I work with a group of 10 students, and only two of them were autistic. The rest of them actually had learning disabilities, but they were all labeled autistic so that they could get the help or the education needs met.
Yeah,
so,
one of the other, not to cut you off, but one of the other bad parts of our education system, I mean, we have a hard time teaching the kids that are quote-unquote normal.
Yes.
And so, you know, as you say, you have all these kids who are thrown in the pot saying, oh, they're autistic, when one could be dyslexic, one could ADD, ADHD, another could bipolar. I mean, they don't get the specialized help and care that maybe if it was caught early enough, they could lead productive lives. But unfortunately, we have a situation like this. And of course, we can never know all the details because we weren't there and we don't know the child in particular. But it's a sad testimony to our education system in general, as well as our rehabilitation abilities as a society, because we just, if somebody does something wrong, we don't have the means to on a broad scale help heal that person and bring that person, reel them back into regular society. They just throw them away.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. And speaking of throwing them away, there's a recent chemical spill, a fluoride spill in a water treatment facility in Rock Island, Illinois, which required the assistance of emergency relief crew. Sort of like the hazmat suits that they wore over in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't from radiation, though. It was actually hydrofluorosilic. Let me repeat myself because I know I said that wrong. Hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is a chemical fluoride component, you know, commonly added to our drinking water for, as they say, the stated purpose of preventing cavities. Now, mind you, this chemical so hazardous that it actually began to burn through parking lot cement before the emergency crews arrived on the scene. You think that's in the water.
And that's what we're drinking.
Yeah. It's kind of scary. What to prevent the decay in your teeth is something that can burn a hole in concrete.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow I'm thinking that wouldn't save my teeth. it seems like it's something not to prevent cavities. It seems like it just knock all my damn teeth out and erode my body slowly. Now, the conspiracy theorist in me says, that sounds about right. That seems like something that you can do. You can gradually bring down the age of the population by putting something in the water harmless enough and say, hey, this is for your own good. It'll prevent cavities. When I thought that's what toothpaste did. We had all this toothpaste that prevents cavities. Last time I thought, and your doctor, my dentist, and I know a lot of people's dentists always say, hey, floss the ones you want to keep.
Right.
I guess you don't even have to brush your teeth. You can just drink tap water and just throwing it out there. I mean, it's just out there. It's kind of funny. I think, you know, this burning a hole in concrete, and this is what you gradually drinking every day. I wonder if you filter, I mean, because I have a water filter, and I know there are a lot of people, we drink filtered water, allegedly. Does the filtering help process out some of the fluoride?
That's a very good question.
Yeah, I have to look into that one of these days. As I scare myself in... After the show, I'll go drink out the faucet and try to prevent these cavities. On that note, we're going to take another commercial song break. This is Mos Def. Very serious song. Beef.
Beef is not what Jay said to Nas. Beef is when the working folks can't find jobs.
Yeah.
So they trying to find niggas to rob. Trying to find bigger guns so they can finish the job.
Woo.
Beef is when the crack babies can't find moms. Cause they end up behind bars. A lot behind bars.
Mm.
Beef ain't the summer jam for Hot 97. Beef is the cocaine and AIDS epidemic.
Mm.
Beef don't come with a radio edit. Beef is when the judge is calling you defendant.
Mm.
Beef, it come with a long jail sentence. Handed down to you in a few short minutes. Beef is when your girl come through for a visit to tell you that she pregnant by some other nigga. Beef is high blood pressure and bad credit. Need a loan for your home, but you're too broke to get it.
What?
And all your little kids doing is getting bigger. You're trying not to raise them around these wild niggas.
Mm.
Beef is when a gold digger got your seat in her. A man in short handout like, hey, me nigga. Or I'm telling your wife for starting up some foul rumor that'll ruin your life. Beef is when a gangster ain't doing it right. Another gangster's undecided what to do with his life. Beef is not what these famous niggas do on the mic. Beef is what George Bush would do in the fight.
Yeah.
Beef is what Josh said to 50. But beef is Wold and Herb not being here with me when a soldier ends his life with his own gun. Beef is trying to figure out what to tell his son. Beef is oil prices and geopolitics. Beef is Iraq, the West Bank, and Gaza Strip. Some beef is big and some beef is small. But with charcoal, beef is not beef at all. Beef is real life happening every day. And it's realer than them songs that you gave to K Slay. This has been a real nigga PSA from Mos Def, Pretty Flacco, Black Dante, and the Black Star Embassy. B to the K.
Together you gotta be smooth, drummer, smooth, drummer.
All right, that was Mos Def, Beef. Manicure paid out, saying pay me. Anyway, yeah, welcome back to Smooth Drama. That song always chokes me up for some reason. what beef really is. You know, that whole, I believe one guy smarter than me once said, people be talking about keeping it real, but don't have no understanding what reality really be.
Yeah.
That's kind of where we kind of stuck in that whole matrix thing where people talk about keeping it real, but don't know what real is because you live in the exotic fantasy and things that you think are important that are real beef is actually non-consequential in the whole scheme of things, the rest of the world. So, beef. Speaking of beef, I got a beef against our government. Just found out, not that we didn't all know and suspect this for a minute, that the United States, after years of deceit, openly admit Bin Laden has been long dead. They say America knew Osama Bin Laden died December 13th, 2001. That's a long ass time. Now, mind you, 2001 kind of was around the time when we was rallying the troops and talking about the axis of evil and how we needed to snuff out all the evil and we was going to go fight these wars and make it happen. You know, how many billions of dollars, possibly trillions of dollars we spent on these wars, and you remember how every 4 or 5 years Osama bin Laden would come out with a video. In the meantime, we'd be killing the number two man. It was like, if you was number two, that was your ass. We was killing you. We always, every headline was, the number two man in the Taliban was taken out today.
Mm.
Come to find out, he's been dead for a decade, almost.
I have a question. Just a question.
Hopefully I got an answer.
Well, not just for you, but for everybody.
All right.
Why did we go to Afghanistan?
Well, I, once again, being the conspiracy theorist that I am, I've always said that it had nothing to do with terrorists fighting and saving the good people of Afghanistan. You know, we don't give a damn. Ain't no oil in Afghanistan. But there are a bunch of poppy seeds. It's a lot of heroin to be processed.
Mm-hmm.
And opium to be put out there on the open market and making that free illegal money.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
So you mean to tell me that you sent my brother to Afghanistan twice under the auspices of catching Osama bin Laden or fighting the war on terror, that it's really to line your motherfucking pocket?
Well,
really?
They kind of caught him. They just didn't tell nobody they caught him.
So it was the same thing as going to Iraq when the weapons of mass destruction bullshit. And when we get over there and there are no weapons of mass destruction, then it was, oh, well, Saddam Hussein is this terror. He's a terrorist, too. He's tied in with terrorists. So we killed him and his sons and set up our own little community over there. We want to impose American will or the American government's will on these other countries. and you telling the public it's because of one thing, but you have your own hidden agenda, and all of you bastards are in on it?
Pretty much.
That's the way I feel. Y'all are some fucking assholes, and I couldn't care less if all of y'all died in the next 5 minutes.
Well, unfortunately, the people that we're talking about, they don't fight on the ground.
Well, they don't do the fighting, but they do. They make our people fight. They make our loved ones fight. So our loved ones are going over there getting killed for nothing.
That would be a correct assessment. That would be a very correct assessment. Yeah. So, you know, all the folks, we support the troops, all that other stuff that everybody's talking. I'm wondering, since it's not nothing that's on the news every day, all day, and I've wondered why. And if this is something that was known, I mean, wouldn't this be something that the president and the cabinet and everybody else who knew about it, shouldn't they be court-martialed?
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, on the humdrum, y'all sent innocent folks to die over something that was a flat-out lie.
Just a flat-out lie.
Yeah.
Just made up. And what about all these damn videotapes? All these. Oh, Osama bin Laden has come out with another statement, and it's not. And you can't hear it. All you can do is see his lips moving. Hell, that could have been made 20 years ago.
Well, it's sort of like, remember there was a time when Tupac, after he died, he was putting out album after album. He just kept singing.
Right.
I think it's along them lines.
So who's the puppeteer? That's what I want. Who's the puppet master? That's what I want to know. Who's the puppet master? Who's the one behind the scenes putting out these tapes and, you know, all of these different things? You know, what is the guy's name that Michael Moore?
Right.
And how they dogged him out and shut him down because he basically said that he felt the government had something to do with September 11th.
Well, I've always believed that.
And you had all these facts and, you know, and how it's just crazy. And anybody that spoke against the war and spoke against the war in Iraq and the war on terrorism and their thoughts and, you know, our troops being over there for so long, anybody that had any type of anything to say that wasn't for our government, they basically shut them down. And I thought, you know, we had freedom of speech.
Yeah.
So,
I believe Ice-T had an album a long time ago, Freedom of Speech, Just Watch What You Say.
It's crazy.
Yeah. It's not crazy at all, actually. It kind of makes sense. I mean, you got to look at there was money involved and nobody wants to get up off the money and lose the money. And speaking of money and not making sense, the New York officer, and this is in our hater section right here. This is definitely the hater of the month, year, decade, whichever one you want to call it. 20-year-old Dan Roy Henry Jr., Eastern Massachusetts, was killed by Pleasantville police officer whose name I refuse to say because he's a no good, cowardly, bitch ass punk motherfucker. Killed Dan Roy Henry Jr. And for his troubles, he was honored by the Pleasantville Police Department, and it was an honor for his dignity and professionalism since the October shooting and throughout his career.
Really?
Yeah.
Really? So it's professional to jump on a hood of a car that's not even moving and shoot a kid in the face. It's honorable to do something like that?
Something like that.
Wow.
Yeah, he said he shot it at Henry after Henry's car hit him. Of course, there are some witnesses who dispute that.
There's a lot of witnesses, including a TV person who saw the whole thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure that evidence won't ever make it live. But it seems odd to me that a man would get an award, who'd be honored for shooting somebody and showing dignity in his killing. And, you know, the symbolics of it is like he's honored for killing a black man. Now, you know, it's no mystery. I'm a black man.
Oh.
Just in case y'all didn't know, I am a black man. And I find it quite appalling, that black life is thought of in such low regard that symbolically you will honor a guy who killed someone because he had dignity and was a professional. And this is something where there are witnesses who are saying that he was all in the wrong, but of course you want to prop this guy up. And I'm like, the symbolism behind it is, you know, you have such a low disregard for my life and people who look like me that you award a guy. I inconceivable. Now, you know, there are people who were mad because here in Oakland, there was a parade for a guy who killed four cops, and the cops were upset. Now, I'm like, how can you be upset if the people of Oakland celebrate someone killing cops if y'all are celebrating a guy who's killing innocent black kids?
Here's a thought, Dick. And to put this in the thoughts of other black people, that ought to show us, as a people, how powerful we really are. We're so powerful that they want to take us out by any means necessary. And they are giving rewards for every one of us that they terminate. Think about it.
Don't have to. It's one of those things. I mean, we know, we joke about the driving while black, the whole black tax, you know, you're going to be stopped by the police. I mean, it's one of those things where if you get stopped, it could be you. I mean, that's the fear that we have whenever we get stopped by the police. It's not, you never know. And it's sitting out there. And one of our bloggers eloquently put it, they have a different set of rules for themselves. The rules for us is shoot and ask questions later. Or make up, as Dave Chappelle would say, just sprinkle some crack on them and run away.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean,
yeah.
It's awful. I don't know. On that note, I have to say thank you to the listeners for listening. I want to thank my esteemed co-host for taking the time out her busy evening to come on the show and share her ideas with me.
Like I said before, you know, always a pleasure.
All right. On that note, hey, Dick Hugger, a.k.a. F the N-word, Smooth Drama. We'll see you next smooth time at the next smooth place. to the E to the A to the C to the E.
He is the host with the most, and he's rocking coast to coast smooth. She is the lady with her hands.
Where in the hell did you get your news from?
Drama.
Together you got
smooth.
Drama.
Smooth.